Red Evening Base, as we continue this exciting pre-Shavuos program, and welcome also to all those joining us from our partner shuls. The real zechus and an honor to have with us this evening Rav Shai Shechter from Whitman, New York. Rav Shai Shechter is really one of the highly sought-after speakers in America. I had personally the zechus of being able to see Rav Shai learn in the Beis Medrash when I was in YU. I think for many of us Talmidim, the sights of seeing Rav Shai and his father, Hagoyim Rav Heschel Shechter, learning every afternoon for a very inspirational image, remains with me. And it's a real honor that you've taken time out and joined us this evening here and this afternoon for you. So without further ado, Rav Shai, and over to you.
So thank you, Rav Shmuley, and thank you to all of you. This is such a blessing in disguise that we get to share Torah from different continents and different countries. And we get to be together in one shared value that we all have, and that is in our study, in our interest in learning Torah together. So thank you to all of you for joining tonight. Thank you to all of you for inviting me. And thank you to all that you do to uphold the Limud HaTorah in England. It's such an inspiration to watch what you do. And I quickly perused on your website to see all of the shiurim that are going on and all of the programs. It's really inspirational. It is uplifting. And it's very inspiring. Ko Yitain Hashem v'Ko Yosef. We should have the opportunity to share Torah together and to grow together and to have many, many, many future healthy and happy opportunities to be together and to be sharing in this value that we have of our communal Limud HaTorah. So as we know, Kabbalah HaTorah is a time when we highlight the fact that we got the Torah. That is why it's referred to as Zman Matan Torah Seinu. And we turn to the very first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And there we have some kind of very strange introduction. If you look at the very beginning of Pirkei Avos, we know that this is the ethical standard of the Jewish people. This is what gives us our sense of integrity. This is exactly how we're supposed to be behaving. It is the moral principles of the Jewish people. And there in Pirkei Avos, we have a very strange introduction to the whole idea of the ethics of our fathers. And that introduction, the preamble is, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, u'masara liYehoshua, v'Yehoshua lizakenim. It goes through the whole history of the transmission throughout all the generations, and that is in some way meant to be an introduction, which really begs the curiosity, why is this here? This should be at the very beginning of Mishnayis Brachos. It should be at the very beginning of some other Masechta where we talk about many halachos or many mitzvos HaTorah that we are expected to observe. Why is it mentioned here in particular and not in any other place? And this is something that is mentioned by the Me'iri, as well as a number of other commentaries, and the Me'iri writes so beautifully. The reason why is because in all other areas of Torah, we have a very systematic, a very methodical way of analyzing the halacha. We have a very careful structure of how the Torah is broken down, of where I have a right to make a drasha, of where I have a right to understand the mitzvah in a certain way. But one may think, says the Me'iri, that when it comes to Pirkei Avos, when it comes to the way in which we are meant as Jews to behave, one may think that this perhaps was not something that was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. One may believe that this was something that each of the greats of our generations have come up with on their own. And therefore he says, don't you ever think that it was the fathers of antiquity. Don't believe that this is something that was made up along the way. Don't think that this is something that was just character refinement that was defined by the personalities who are mentioned in Pirkei Avos. No. Writes the Me'iri, this transcends all of our thoughts. This is from eternal nature. This is something that is immortal. It is something that is timeless because it came all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu, who got it at Har Sinai. And make no mistake, it is not that only the mitzvahs HaTorah are authentic. It is not that we only lend credibility to the psukim in Chumash or to the Gemara, but rather, he says, we give absolute legitimacy. We give absolute reliability to every lesson that is mentioned in Pirkei Avos as well, because all of those were given to Moshe at Har Sinai, just as every other mitzvah that was given to him as well. And the Bartanura there, one of the foremost commentaries on the Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnayis, writes the same idea, and he says, Lomar lach, this is to teach all of us, Shehamidos v'hamosrim shebezu ha-masechta, that all of the lessons that we are going to glean from our study of Pirkei Avos, None of them, he said, lo badu chachmei ha-mishnah milibam. This is not something that was established or generated by the great leaders of the Mishnayos. It was not made up by those members of that generation. Ala af elu nemru b'Sinai. We cannot have a subjective religion. We cannot assume that as time goes on, we are going to decide what is considered to be acceptable and what perhaps is not. The Torah gives us laws and regulations that not only govern our observance of mitzvos, but they also govern the way in which we have interpersonal relationships, the way in which we have relations with others, with our community, with our family, and with ourselves, not only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Mefarshim write, it was extremely appropriate that the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos in particular open with Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai to emphasize this point. My father writes in one of his Svarim in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that we know there are two different English words. One is called ethics and what is called etiquette. What is the difference between ethics and etiquette? And Rav Soloveitchik explained, an ethical man is somebody who has principles, who has values, regardless of where they are, regardless of the circumstance, they always stand by those values. They are an ethical human being. And it doesn't matter where they find themselves, it doesn't matter who is watching or not watching, they are going to behave in a certain way. Etiquette means, depending on where I am, I change my behavior. So if I'm sitting at the Hasidish Rebbe's Tish, the etiquette dictates that I should eat the kugel without a fork and a knife. If I'm sitting in somebody's private home, I would never eat that way. That would be considered against the basic etiquette of any human being that's sitting at a regular table. If I'm in China, I assume that the etiquette dictates that I should use chopsticks as opposed to a fork and a knife. And the same goes for many other behaviors that we find. That is the difference between ethics and etiquette. But the Torah demands both of the Jewish people. We have to have proper etiquette, that depending on where we are, we need to make sure that we are going to be respectful of the culture, respectful of the community. But moreover, we need to always make sure that we live as ethical human beings. And that core belief that the Jewish people stand by, that the Jewish people live by, is something that is immutable, is something that never changes, that never wavers. It is something that is timeless, because that was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai. As the Mishnah says, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai umesara liYehoshua. Just to emphasize this point, that we don't live lives of subjective morality. We live lives that are objectively true. And that goes in every realm of Jewish life, not just in the mitzvos that we observe, but in the way that we relate to all of life and to all of those human beings that we interact with. Let us just take the following example. As we know, when the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael for the first time, they were led by Yehoshua ben Nun. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed access and entry into the land. So Yehoshua ben Nun leads them in. And sometimes we have the mistaken impression that once they got to Eretz Yisrael, they lived a blissful existence. And that was not at all the case. Unfortunately, as we know, after Yehoshua ben Nun brought them in, all of the Shvatim split up into their own locations, into their own sections. And there was the period of the Shoftim. If you look in the beginning of Nevi'im, you will find Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, you find that there was a Tkufas HaShoftim. And that meant that there were tribal leaders. There was no centralized, there was no unified leadership of the Jewish people. Each tribe, each Shevet, had their own Shofet, who had the job of making sure that everybody who was under their jurisdiction was behaving and acting properly. Well, that is what we find in the beginning of the period of the Shoftim. And it got to a point where there was really a lot of difficulty, there was a lot of tribal issues between one Shevet and another, and they finally came together and decided that because there is no cooperation, we are so divided, we need to do something. After all, there were civil wars breaking out between different Shvatim. So they all came together and they went to Shmuel HaNavi, to the great prophet of the time, and they asked him, we are now in the period of the Shoftim, but it's time that we figure out how to make a centralized melech. We need to figure out how to centralize the authority. There has to be one force that is going to be the leader of the Jewish people. Otherwise, we will continue to have all of these issues between all of the various Shvatim. Now, Shmuel HaNavi is taken aback, but he has to figure out who they are going to anoint as the first king, and they take none other than Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech becomes the first Jewish king that we know of in Tanakh. And Shaul HaMelech was a perfect choice. After all, the Navi says, Ben Shana Shal B'Malcho. Can you all see me properly? My screen keeps going on and off the video. I'm not sure why. Shmuley, is that okay? I'm good? Okay, so it says that Shal HaMelech was Ben Shana Shal B'Malcho, which simply translated means Shal HaMelech was 1 year old when he took on the mantle of leadership of the Jewish people. I hope this is not distracting for anybody. This is the Aron Kodesh in my shul. This is the Young Israel of Woodmere. For those of you who were never here, Asidim Bate Knesios Lios Be'eretz Yisrael. So I look forward to greeting all of you with this paroches in the background in Yerushalayim. We should all have that opportunity. But for now, this is where I am. Libi B'Mizrach V'Anochi B'Marav. I'm very far away. Not only am I far away, I don't even have the ability to get on a plane and figure out how I can get to Eretz Yisrael, but halavai, we should have that opportunity. So, if any of you are distracted, you can just shut off my video and pay attention to what I'm saying, and I hope it's somewhat meaningful. But either way, we have Shmuel decides that he's going to make Shaul the Melech al Yisrael, and that was an amazing choice. Why was it an amazing choice? Because, as we started to say, Shaul HaMelech was Ben Shana Shaul B'Malcho. And the Gemara asked, do you think that he had the ability to lead the Jewish people when he was 1 year old? I'm sure anybody on this group who has a one-year-old at home, a one-year-old sibling or a one-year-old child, knows quite well that it is impossible for a one-year-old to take responsibility, let alone to take responsibility for the entire Jewish community, for all the Shvatim. If you knew the politics that are going on just now between little communities and little shuls that are fighting with each other, imagine the entire Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine what kind of responsibility one needs to take upon themselves? Well, that is the story of Shaul HaMelech, and the Gemara says it doesn't mean that he was 1 year old in the literal sense. It means that he was kiven shana lechet. He was such a pure, sincere human being. He was such a perfect person who never did anything wrong, and Shaul HaMelech was the right choice. He was, as the Navi says, he was called by God himself, the Bechir Hashem. He was the chosen one. That was the divine appellation that was given to him by God himself, which is astounding. How many people in history have been referred to as Bechir Hashem? How many people has God singled out and said, this is the person who I love, this is the person who I treasure, this is the person who I choose to be the leader of the Jewish people? Well, that was the story of Shaul, and unfortunately, he had a very tragic end. So let's try to just think about that story just a little bit. Shmuley, how careful are we about the time? Must I end after 30 minutes, or is there a shiur afterward? Tell me. I can't hear you.
You have a few minutes. Yeah, you can go, though. We're not yet good.
Okay, so we're getting there. So Shmuel HaNavi anoints this Shaul HaMelech to be the king. And as we know, the first job of a Jewish king is he has to destroy, he has to eradicate Amalek. So he gives the instruction to Shaul HaMelech and he says, here is your first job. You need to make sure that you wipe out the nation of Amalek. Not just the men, not just the women, not just the children. You need to get rid of everything that belongs to Amalek as well. They all need to be destroyed. Well, he goes out to battle and the famous story is that he leaves. 99% of the job was done. He leaves over 1%, or a fraction of 1%. And Shmuel is infuriated. And Shmuel comes to meet Shaul HaMelech, and he says, what have you done? Shaul HaMelech says, Hakimosa es devar Hashem. I have upheld the word of God. And Shmuel says to him, really? You believe that you have upheld the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Umeh kol hatzon. What is this that I hear in the background? You obviously have not done as you were instructed. So what do you mean, Hakimosa es devar Hashem? Now you ask yourself, we can lie to another human being. We're not supposed to, but sometimes a person can get away with it. You're talking to a prophet. You're talking to Shmuel. Do you think you're going to pull a fast one on him? God just told Shmuel HaNavi that you have not done the job. Do you really believe that you're going to be able to trick him? You're going to be able to fool him? What does he mean, Hakimosi es devar Hashem? And this is something that troubles all of the Mefarshim. Shaul HaMelech was not only dishonest, he's lying to a prophet who sees right through him. So what does he mean? And after all, this is Shaul HaMelech, the Bechir Hashem, the one who has been Shana Lechait when he took the mantle of leadership. Explains the Malbim, you should all look it up later because it is so profound what he explains there on this pasuk. And he says, perhaps what it means is, Shaul HaMelech was concerned. What is going to be the reaction of the people? if I destroy all of Amalek? I want to figure out how I can uphold the standard of God in the eyes of the people. And therefore, he said, Hakimosi es devar Hashem. I changed the mitzvah ever so slightly only because I wanted God to look better in the eyes of the human beings that live in my generation. And I did it with the best of intentions. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a message back, Ma'asta es devar Hashem. You believe that you are going to have a religion that is based on subjective morality? You believe that that is the way this religion runs? You really think that the way to uphold the Word of God is to alter it and change it based on the psychological norms of the people living in your time? No, that is a mistake. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Everything that we practice, not only the mitzvahs, not only all of the laws of the Torah, the cut and dry laws that we all need to keep, but also every ethic, every psychology, every thought, every understanding that we have is also based on this principle of Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, and God says, Ma'asta es devar Hashem. Vayimascha Hashem lemelech, and because of this mistake, Shaul HaMelech loses everything that his life was about. That's the tragic story of Shaul HaMelech, but it just highlights for us the importance of understanding and appreciating. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai is all-encompassing. And what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us at Har Sinai was something that is timeless and eternal. In fact, if you look in the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, you will find that the Torah goes through the Mem Beis Maaseos. The Torah goes through the 42 different stops along the way that the Jewish people took as they were traveling through the desert. And there, you'll notice a glaring omission. And what is missing? We don't have a mention of Kabbalah Satorah Maimid Har Sinai, the most defining moment of the Jewish people's history. What made them a nation, what made them a people, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them, and he said, Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem. That was the highest, most sublime moment in Jewish history, and yet it is left out of the list of the Mem Beis Maaseos. That doesn't rank, that doesn't make it into the listing of everywhere else that they traveled. Was that worse? Was that in any way meant to be left out? Was it a mistake? Chalila, we can never say that something was left out of the Torah. Every word is deliberate. Every word is calculated. So why is it that Kabbalah Satorah Maimon Har Sinai is left out? And the answer is because there in Parshas Maaseh, the Torah is going through historical events. They traveled here and they went there, and it's telling us the story of what happened, and it wants us to learn the lessons. However, Kabbalah Satorah was not a historical event. Kabbalah Satorah was something that is eternal, that is everlasting. Kabbalah Satorah is something that will be forever. It is not something we're supposed to just think about once in the history of the Jewish people. Kabbalah Satorah is something that we re-experience every moment, every day of all of our lives and of the Jewish people's existence in general. Moshe Rabbeinu at the very end of his life in Parshas Devarim, as we know, Be'ever HaYarden, Moshe Rabbeinu, as we said, was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. So here he is, right before he's about to die, as the Jewish people are about to cross over into the Yarden, they're about to go over into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to take leave of the Jewish people, and what does he do? Ho'el Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Hazos Leimar. Rashi says, in the name of Chazal, that Moshe Rabbeinu spent his last day on this earth writing the Sefer Torah, writing the words of the Torah in 70 different languages. Now I ask you, did you ever have a grandparent or Rachmana Litzlan, a parent who is at the very end of their life? They have so many important messages to give over, so many important ideals that they need to share with their family and close friends. Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing better to do than to be a linguist and go around and translate the Torah into 70 Lashonos? He couldn't have even gotten someone else to do it? Why was this so critical the last day of his life? And the answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach us. Yes, it is true, I had an opportunity to speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu peh el peh. I had a direct connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. B'chol beisi ne'emanu. God has chosen me to be the one who He trusts. Moshe Rabbeinu is considered the Eved Hashem. He is considered the one who is closest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one else was paralleled to the level of connection that Moshe Rabbeinu had. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'd like you all to know, the authenticity of the words of Torah are not only for a generation that have someone like me who lives in it. I'd like you to know you're going to move in some later period in history to France and to Germany and to China and Japan and Australia and London. And you're going to be in the United States and you're going to be in California and you're going to be in Alaska and you're going to be all over the place. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. We have Jews who are all over uniting now in these days to learn Torah together. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu wants us to know that although we no longer have that connection of Moshe Rabbeinu, don't ever forget that the Torah is to be kept in all of the Shivim Lashonos. And there's going to be a time when you will have conflicting values. For those of us who live in America, we know there are so many conflicting values of American culture and American society to the mitzvahs HaTorah and to the ideals that the Torah wants us to live by. And to those of you who are living in London, who are living all over England, you know that there are plenty of different examples that we know are antithetical to everything that the Torah stands for. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't ever forget, I wrote the Torah in English as well, because I'd like you to remember that the Torah is perpetual, that the Torah is everlasting. The Torah is enduring. It is immutable. It will never change. It is steady. It is the only constant in all that we've experienced throughout all this galus. The Torah continues, and the Torah is as applicable in every generation as it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It has gone us this far, and it will continue to propel the Jewish people forward. Let me just share a personal story. A couple of weeks ago, in the heat of this crisis here in America, I don't know how bad things were by you. I hope I'm not coming off as insensitive. I don't know if they were equally as severe as us in New York here. But we had a very, very difficult couple of months. And unfortunately, things are still really complicated, really, really difficult. But there was a period of time where there were hundreds and hundreds of people dying in New York City every single day. I think the number was 800 or 900, if I'm not mistaken. And many, many religious Jews, many members of our communities who we're familiar with, many parents of our members. It was really a difficult time. And I can tell you, I was spending almost every day on the phone with my father for a few hours a day, talking to him about various end-of-life issues that were really relevant to many, many, many community members. And there were doctors calling from all over the world and ICU specialists. And there were just people who were asking for his guidance on life and death issues. Literally, life and death. This was every single day. And it was tragic. It was terrible. One Matzei Shabbos, I called my father right after Shabbos was over. I wanted to check in how he was feeling. And Baruch Hashem, he was okay. He said, you know, I just hung up the phone with Hagon Reb David Cohn. And I said, interesting. Why did Reb David Cohn call the house? So I don't know if you know, Reb David Cohn is a great posik in Flatbush, who is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. I don't want to say anything more, because the more you say, the more you take away from the person's greatness. But he is a really of tremendous stature, for those of you who may not be familiar. And Reb David Cohn had called my father, and I asked my father, why did he call? I assumed he had called because he too was probably dealing with the same issues, and he felt he wanted to talk some of the issues over with somebody else who's dealing with them as well. But my father told me no. He said Reb David Cohn on Shabbos afternoon was learning Maseches Menachos. And he said on Shabbos he had a Chiddush and a Tosas that he learned. And he was so excited about his Chiddush, but then he was so upset that he had no one to share it with. No one to appreciate the great Chiddush. So he said to himself, I'll call Reb Herschel Schechter right after Shabbos. I'm sure he'll love what I have to say. So he said Reb David Cohn called him, and he shared his tremendous Chiddush, and my father was giving him back some Masa Umatan, and they hung up. And I was so inspired by this story. When the rest of the world is falling apart, when the rest of the world is at its knees, when we're dealing with life and death issues, there are still great Talmidei Chachamim who are able to take all of that out of the equation and say, as much as we're in the middle of it, we all need to make sure that the Torah is the constant, that the Torah is everlasting, that the Torah is enduring, that it is immutable, it is unflappable, and our faith to what the mitzvahs HaTorah mean to us. We know that the Torah is what has kept us alive all this time and what will continue to keep the Jewish people alive. And that is what we mean when we say, Moshe kibel Torah misinai umesara li Yehoshua. There's a striking comment in the Talmud Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi writes, Kol hakoveya itim la Torah, hareze mefir Torahso. It's a strange line. Let's translate. Kala koveya itim la Torah. Somebody who is koveya itim, somebody who makes time to learn Torah, hareza mefir Torahso. You are a blasphemous individual. Now, what does that mean? I would say most Jews in the world probably do not set aside time to learn every day. So those who do, those who make time for Torah out of their busy schedules, and we all have busy schedules, that is considered a blasphemous activity. What does that mean? And some of Farshim explain what it means is, Kal ha-koveya itim la-Torah. If you say that the Torah is confined to a certain ace, to a certain generation, to a certain time period, to a certain kind of Jew, to a certain kind of community, ha-reze mefir Torah, so you have no understanding of what Torah represents. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. Ho'il Moshe be'eres ha-Torah hazos le'mar, Moshe Rabbeinu said before his death, before his demise, I need to make sure that I give over the values and the lessons of Torah for every generation. And will there be challenges down the line? There absolutely will be. But we all have the obligation to make sure that Torah is going to be alive and operational, that the Torah will be considered relevant in every generation. Rav Shach has a very beautiful comment, the Rosh Hashiva in Panovich, Zechrona Livracha, where he writes, well, the Mishnah there in Pirkei Avos writes, Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai Umesorah LeYehoshua. It goes through the whole list of the Shalshelas HaMesorah and says, Rav Shach, well, if it were up to me, he says, I would say that that Mishnah should just continue on and on and on. And guess who would be the last one mentioned in that chain? It would be all of us. We are that Shalshelas HaMesorah. And he writes, it's just too long to enumerate in the Mishnah itself. But that is what we represent. That is what Jewish people have always stood for. That is what we will always stand by. And that is what gives us comfort, especially in difficult times like we are living today. The only final comment I will make is a beautiful insight that I once heard from Rabbi Rafal Pelkowitz. He was a rabbi here in Far Rockaway. I had the great privilege of working alongside with him for 5 years when I was in the White Shul. He was Nifter a couple of years ago, and he shared this amazing insight with me. I believe he said in the name of Rabbi Meir Shapiro. And he said, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, Kol ha-kelim sha'asa Moshe Rabbeinu, ksherim lo u'ksherim ledoros. All of the different vessels, all of the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu crafted, were able to be used by him and in all future generations. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a Mizbeach. All future generations could use his Mizbeach. Moshe Rabbeinu made all kinds of kelim, a shulchan, an aron, a menorah. Were we to find any of those items, we would be able to make use of them in our Beis HaMikdash. However, there's one exception. And the Gemara says that exception is Chatzotzros Sha'asa Moshe Rabbeinu. The trumpets that Moshe Rabbeinu made were Ksherim Lo Upsulim Ledoros. No future generation was able to make use of those trumpets that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed. And the question is why? What is the difference between the Chatzotzros and all the other items that were made by Moshe Rabbeinu? If the Mizbeach and the Shulchan and the Menorah are able to be used, then why can't we use everything that Moshe Rabbeinu made as well? And Rav Meir Shapiro suggested, Chatzotzros were the way that Moshe Rabbeinu communicated with the people. So the Torah does not change. The Shulchan, the Aron, the Menorah always remains the same. The only thing that changes is the mode of communication. So in our generation, we're using Zoom, and we're using the internet, and we have all kinds of different ways in which we need to communicate with each other. And what a Kiddush Hashem, we could use all of this great technology to have Rabbanim in America sharing Torah with all of you in England, in London. It's a privilege. It's a humbling privilege. But yet we're able to do so because we understand that the message of Torah is, I am eternal. I am here to stay. Nothing will ever change. The only thing that does need to change in every generation is the mode of communication that we choose to impart the laws of the Torah to our children and to our community. And that is an opportunity we all have. As that link in the Shalshelas HaMesorah, like Rav Shach said, if that Mishnah would have continued, it would have gone on and on and on until all of us would be mentioned in the Mishnah as well. But don't forget, part of our sacred obligation of being that Shalshelas HaMesorah is to figure out how to make the Torah's messages be heard in a way that our generation can swallow. That is a very great and difficult task, but it's the obligation and the opportunity that we all share together. So as we come to the Zman Matan Torosenu, as we come to celebrate this great day of Kabbalah HaTorah, We may not be in our shuls. I don't know where you're up to in London yet. Here in New York, some shuls are going to have an opportunity, other shuls are not. But wherever you may be, you have the opportunity to be reminded of the great value that Torah plays in all of our lives, of the principles that Torah has to guide our lives. Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai, as we said, is an all-encompassing dictum, and that is, Moshe Rabbeinu told us we should wear tefillin, Moshe Rabbeinu told us we should shake the lulav, Moshe Rabbeinu told us we should blow shofar, and Moshe Rabbeinu also taught us how we are meant to think, how we are meant to behave, and how we are meant to interact with every person in every society, in every single generation of Jews that may live anywhere in the world. So I wish all of you a Chag Sameach. I wish all of you a most enjoyable, uplifting, and meaningful Yom Tov. And thank you once again to all the members of the administration and the evening base who have put this beautiful program together and all the other great Torah that you share. Halavai, Sheyafutsu Mayanosecha Chutza. You should continue to inspire and to lead the great lives of the Jewish people out there in London. And I wish you only continued Hatzlacha. Thank you so much for including me. And I wish you a wonderful Yom Tov. Thank you.